Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
In how they've reacted to this news that Rusada is to be reinstated by WADA today. Did it come as a surprise to you that they took this action to reinstate them?
Well, I suppose, sadly, it's not entirely a surprise because we have seen WADA going down a slippery slope in recent years where there's a definite conflict of interest within the organisation, and we've seen some decisions that have been uncomfortable to us over recent years, and we've been asking for a review of the governance of WADA for quite some time. So from that point of view, it's not entirely surprising, but I think that the level and scale of upset at the suggestion that this recommendation was being made, there was a very strong sentiment being expressed around the whole world between athletes, national anti-doping organisations, governments, ministers, etc. So to have been able to ignore that huge level of disappointment and frustration at even the recommendation, I think it's quite... I suppose that element is surprising, that they are, you know, arrogant to the extent that they would actually make a decision that goes against everybody's opinions and views.
Yeah, we've seen Travis Targett of USADA as one of those who's been outspoken about it today. Yourselves, obviously via John Tracy, being outspoken for it, saying now for the IOC to be pushing for Russia to be instated, it's wrong and it fundamentally undermines what we're doing in terms of clean sport. What I would find slightly mind-boggling in all of this is the letter that was sent by Craig Reedy to Pavel Kolobkov, who is the Minister of Sport in Russia, saying, "We now believe this is the most opportune time to deal with the two unresolved conditions in the roadmap as you agreed in January 2017. We're barely 18 months down the line in this roadmap, and already Reedy and WADA seem to be just falling over themselves to get Russia back on side. What do you see as the reasoning for that?"
Well, I mean, this is the influence of sport that we've seen consistently appearing in decisions made by WADA. And, you know, it's in sport's interest to get, and the position of a lot of international federations. There would be many international federations who have high-ranking officials with a Russian background, you know, be they presidents or, you know, officials within their organisation. So there's a lot of people within the international sporting arena. It's one of the, you know, biggest, most influential sporting countries in the world when it comes to international global sport through the IOC, and therefore they are quite anxious to have them back in play. But obviously that goes against everything that the rest of us believe in terms of play in sport being about fairness and integrity, and in particular being about clean athletes and demonstrating their ability to perform to their best in fair conditions.
Mm. Is there a sense from Sport Ireland and indeed the other co-signatories on that, I suppose, request that you put in earlier in the week to say that you would not be backing a WADA reinstatement of Rusada this week, is there a sense that you want to take this further, that you would want to engage WADA in further negotiations or indeed consultations about this going forward? Because there are still many hurdles to jump before Rusada are welcomed back with open arms necessarily.
The difficulty is, yes, I mean, you know, I don't think this is going to end here. I don't think it can end here. They haven't met the conditions that were set out, and we need to understand, and WADA needs to be very clear to us how they came to a decision that the letter that the Russians sent last week to WADA was acceptable as compliance with the requirements of the roadmap. And it clearly is, to any normal person, not compliant and doesn't fit what's been requested or required of them. And so we've a long way still to go. WADA claimed to be transparent in releasing the letters, and yet, you know, there's a letter from WADA to the Minister of Sport on the 22nd of June, and saying that they're not comfortable with the statement to say that they are, you know, that their decision was based on the findings of the Schmidt Commission. You know, that's, they said, WADA said they weren't happy with that. And then in September, they now turn around and accept a letter, which that's all it says. It says, "We accept the decision of the IOC Executive Board." That's not accepting the McLaren report, which clearly states that there were Russian state officials involved in this massive scandal that took place.
Yeah, even the Schmidt report states that a number of individuals within the Ministry of Sport and its subordinated entities were involved in the scheme, and the Russians obviously seem to be siding more on the side of the Schmidt report than they are on the McLaren, which goes further in terms of its allegations that the Russian state were essentially involved in doping. But even looking through the minutiae of the Schmidt report, I mean, it's not a massive leap to suggest that this was orchestrated from on high in Russia.
Well, look, that's clearly the indication in the McLaren report, and I think the Schmidt report does actually point out, you know, that there were members of the Ministry of Sport who were involved in the scheme, and the fact that they've managed to find a way, a wording that they feel has allowed them to accept that, but at the same time not actually admitting any involvement of the highest officials within the country, I suppose is quite, I won't say unbelievable, because nothing's really unbelievable at this stage, but it's extremely frustrating. And, you know, in terms of the future and where this is going, we've been involved. We have national anti-doping organisations who've been represented on a working group looking at WADA governance. But the group has been moving quite slowly and has met against difficulties and resistance for overhaul and a clear overhaul of the system. And you know, we're fighting hard to ensure that if there's to be any good outcome from this, it's to be an overhaul of the governance of WADA so that we remove the conflict of interest, which clearly is impacting on decisions at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen in the past, especially decade or so, I guess, that hosting international events and hosting international competitions is actually a pretty expensive business. And one of the few countries who seem to be able to go about hosting these sorts of events is Russia. As we saw in Sochi, as we saw at the World Cup just passed, there seems to be an appetite on their behalf, if only to put across the best of their state as they see it, to have these events staged here. With Russia out in the cold, the likes of the IOC are suddenly looking at a situation where these kind of tournaments are going without what they would see as sufficient homes. So to get them back on board, they kind of have to play ball. And in Craig Reedy's own words in this leaked letter, in the spirit of compromise, they're throwing proposals at Russia to get them back on board.
Well, exactly. And that's the reason why we need to remove that conflict of interest that exists at the moment, because that cannot be the basis for decisions for a body which is supposed to be there to protect clean sport and the integrity of sport and protect athletes, clean athletes. You know, we can't have that kind of interference and that kind of influence of decision makers who we know have a conflict of interest with the outcome.
Matt Slater from the Press Association does join us on the line now. Matt, this situation we saw coming, I suppose, there were signposts towards this throughout the week. We still seem to be met with a great deal of surprise that WADA have actually bent to such a degree to allow Russia back in, even stating that, you know, that they're going to have to be having access to the labs by the end of the year, etc., etc. But even those road marks might be put back a little bit as well. This kind of capitulation just seems very, very weak on their front.
Well, it does. Is that there's a few things to unpack there. I mean, you're right that an awful lot of people seem incredibly shocked by this. I've been speaking to anti-doping experts, anti-doping agency bosses and athlete commission representatives all week. And this seems to have crept up on them a bit. And I completely sympathise. And my position is pretty clear on this from the beginning. But I'm surprised that they're surprised, because this has been a long, long time in the making. The suspension is nearly 3 years old. WADA has made little secret of the fact, and you can argue rightly so, that its job is to get a properly functioning national anti-doping agency in the world's largest country, a country that likes to consider itself a sporting superpower, a country that over recent years has hosted an awful lot of sports, stocks an awful lot of boards as well at international federations. So there's a significant player in the sport, in the sporting world. It is incumbent on WADA to get a properly functioning national doping agency running in that country. So it has tried with its roadmap going back to early 2016 to restructure, retrain. It has basically paid for UCAD, UK Anti-Doping, to do a lot of work there. It has paid for extra testing of Russian athletes, both in and outside of Russia, so that they can, you know, compete. And it's been an enormous effort. So this has been going on for a long time. Now, it's been very obvious, I thought, to anyone that's been following this story, that the roadmap had stalled. It stalled. There was a huge amount of effort and hope that we'd get this sorted before the Winter Olympics. We'd certainly get this sorted before the World Cup. But no, Russia, and we can talk about why and Russia tactics and, you know, Russia's sort of global strategy at the moment, dug its heels in on these two key points. And one of them, of course, is about saving face. One of them is about, you know, limiting how high this up the chain this goes. You know, we have to stop it somewhere in the Ministry of Sport, because if we go any higher, it's Mutko. If we go any higher than Mutko, it's Vladimir Putin. Mm. So they had to sort of kind of address that public acceptance of the McLaren report, which said state-sponsored doping. And then the second issue, I think, again, is damage control over how big the conspiracy was. If you get unfettered access, unconditional access to the lab, who knows how many positive tests you're going to find. So this roadmap stalled at least a year ago, and WADA's leadership have been working very hard to find a compromise to get it going again. And I'm shocked that people are shocked that this has been happening.
There seems to be a bit of a lag in terms of the time that WADA will be allowed to access these samples in the Russian lab, to the point where, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you'd think that there's enough time that there, if there is troublesome stuff on behalf of the Russians to be found, there is enough time for it to disappear between now and the time WADA will be allowed into those labs.
Well, wouldn't you be worried about that now? They've had 3 years. We know Russia's cyber capabilities. We know what they've been up to with the fancy bears, hacking WADA. We know that they've been meddling in elections. We know they have the ability. We know that they also have the previous, right? So I'd be concerned right now. Now, the good news, though, is thanks to the likes of Grigory Rodchenkov and other whistleblowers, we have a copy of the what they call the LIMS database. So I don't want to get too technical, but that's basically the data, the readings from all the machines. We have a copy of that. So if it has been corrupted or meddled with, we should be able to tell. So that's the first thing. So that yes, I've had those fears for some time, and I do worry about Russia controlling the timetable here. And I do not understand. I've tried to, you know, in my own spirit of compromise, understand where WADA are coming from. And I do not understand why they've got their timetable wrong. It's very clear in the original roadmap that you do this stuff first, then we reinstate you. On this point, they've shifted it. They've let you know. So now WADA is complying with RASADA, which is insane. But anyway, we do now have this fixed time, 31st of December. You have to hand over that data to a mutually agreed expert. Now, I think that expert is probably going to be someone that works for one of those companies, someone that works for a manufacturer of testing machinery of the type of equipment they've got in that lab. So that's fine. So now we have a deadline. Have they corrupted it? Have they messed around with it? Who knows? If they have, I would like to think that WADA will be able to tell they have. Now, the big imponderable here, and I think the thing that a lot of anti-dopers are very concerned about, is will WADA have the guts to do something about that? Will WADA have the guts to say, well, look, you've messed with it. This is now inadmissible, this evidence. This has happened on your watch. Will we be back here in, I don't know, 6 months, a year's time, with WADA having the guts to declare RASADA and the lab non-compliant again?
There is an ongoing case as well in Austria, I believe, that surrounds the International Biathlon Union that could ultimately result in Russia being investigated again. I think this report is due inside a fortnight, if I've read that correctly. So within the space of around 10, 12 days, we could be back in a situation where Russia is being investigated again after being readmitted. It just seems bizarre.
Look, there's loads of things that are bizarre about this, and that's one of them. And that's interesting again, isn't it? That's come out really of a criminal investigation, a little bit like the Athletic situation that started all this. You know, where we had whistleblowers, brave people, we had people putting, you know, two and two together, we had, you know, people sort of joining the dots. This all started because of endemic and systemic cheating in athletics, in Russian track and field, which went right into the International Federation, the DIAACS, that whole wonderful saga. That's where this started. That's where we first started to understand what the Russians were doing in all their sports. It's funny how 3 years later, we've got a similar little story emerging out of Austria into an investigation into the Biathlon Union, which is based in Austria. That's why the Austrian police, are interested in that one. So you're right. You know, we could have, yeah, it's going to be a smaller story, isn't it? Because it's biathlon, you know, not track and field. And as much as I admire those chaps, I don't understand this biathlon in the way that I understand track and field, and it's a smaller sport. But you're right. The story is similar. Russia's wrongdoing is of the same nature.
Dr. May, I just want to touch on the fact that you signed, or Sport Ireland, I should say, signed that letter along with the likes of USADA and the likes of UCAD this week to suggest that letting RUSADA back into the fold would be a misstep. And clearly you've made that point again here tonight. There seems to be a schism in terms of WADA and the fact that they are so heavily in terms of 9-2 in letting RUSADA back in, and the general anti-doping community, is there a sense that you can, as a group, push for some sort of reform? Is there an appetite to kind of push for reform? And would that extend as far as not necessarily lending support to WADA and withdrawing a little bit from them?
Well, we have been very involved, as you say, for the last few years. We've been involved in pushing the fact that there's a very significant need for reforms within WADA. And one of the biggest issues is the fact that the anti-doping community, so the only organizations in the world who are actually solely responsible for the battle against doping, are not included. We don't have a voice at the WADA table. Athletes don't have a voice at this executive committee level. So the people who are significantly impacted by what happens do not have a voice. And that straight away smacks of bias and conflict of interest. And I suppose whilst we have, you know, governments involved in the decisions as well as the sports movement, you have governments, for example, the likes of the Japanese government, who are hosting the next Olympic Games. So it's not in their interest to cause with the International Olympic Committee. So, you know, until we resolve those matters in terms of the conflict of interest in WADA, we have an awfully long way to go. And this Russian situation is quite possibly not the first or the last of these kind of situations. But what it has done is it has shown WADA's blatant disregard for the views of the athletes and the anti-doping community in their ability to make a decision like this in the face of huge resistance.
Is there an appetite to withdraw cooperation with WADA amongst anti-doping regulators like yourselves?
It's not something we've discussed. We do believe that WADA, the executive in WADA, work very hard. And, you know, I think that that's clear that there has been a lot of work, the likes of the kind of work that's been described already this evening in terms of trying to make sure that there's an anti-doping agency working effectively within Russia, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of very good work going on in WADA. Mm. But the leadership in WADA is not in the same solid space as the executive and the work that's being produced. So there's a real problem with the leadership in WADA.
Matt, given the kind of players that are on side when the UK and the US, without wanting to go into a superpower kind of analogy here, are on one side and WADA are on another, given the fact that WADA is not necessarily an entirely ancient body, it's only 20 odd years old.
Exactly.
There is a chance that they could set about change here if there actually was an appetite between the likes of the US and the UK to actually set about it.
Well, quite. Look, you know, WADA is half-funded by the IOC, half-funded by sport, and half-funded by national governments. But that half of national governments, a massive chunk comes from North America, the usual suspects, Europe. Those are the big contributors. So, you know, what I can tell you is that there is talk, that people are very, very upset about this. And I'm already hearing and seeing people suggesting, you know, why are we investing in this? Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, WADA are based in Canada, and Canada's National Anti-Doping Agency has been one of the strongest, they're one of the angriest about this. So they don't, you know, occupy a vacuum. They exist within the anti-doping community, and the anti-doping community, almost as one, is furious about this for all the reasons that you've just heard. Now, here's where we get deep into conspiracy theories. I am concerned that, and I know some very senior anti-doping people are very concerned, that this has all been very convenient. Because what has sport wanted to do for quite some time? They've almost regretted setting up WADA. They've always wanted to retake control. The embarrassing scenes before Rio, where you have WADA saying, chuck Russia out. You had the International Paralympic Committee saying, okay. You had the IAAF saying, okay. But the Olympics saying, no. That was very embarrassing. So there is a danger, I think, that if the likes of the US say, why are we funding this organization when they don't support clean athletes, when they don't help our clean athletes, there is a danger that this is what the IOC and international federations have wanted from the beginning. And we know they're trying to set up this independent testing agency. The IOC just match fund. If government starts saying, we're not sending that check to Montreal, to WADA, we're going to hold on to it, IOC will say, fine. Let's let WADA wither and die, and we'll set up our own body. We'll take it in-house again. So this is existential stuff, really, for WADA. But I think it's bigger and more fundamental about the type of WADA, the type of global anti-doping policeman we want and deserve and expect, and athletes thought they had, but now have watched this and gone, no, you haven't got our backs.
You know what? I have a feeling we'll be revisiting this, Matt.
Yeah. I thought this was the end, but it's not the end at all. The anger says people are so upset about this and shocked that this has thrown the whole WADA project up in the air.
Mm. Matt Slater, Chief Sports Reporter with the Press Association, and Dr. Una May, Sport Ireland's Director of Participation and Ethics. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. More from Michael Fennelly on the way on the show and also on the football show, but next Dan's going to be in to keep us updated on the Europa League.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.